turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
All right, welcome to another edition of the sports page. Before Kyle and Fred Friedman beat up on Aaron Rodgers a little more, which is okay with me, I want to say congratulations to the Grand Rapids High School girls volleyball team in Section 3A state tournament. Yes, last night they defeated Monticello in the quarterfinal match 3-1, and their semifinal will be against the number one seed Marshall tomorrow night, Friday night, 5:00, and other quarterfinal matches are Thursday, with Southridge at going against Mayor Lutheran, and Walker Hackensack Akeley, the Section 8 single A champ, going against Legacy Christian. That's at 7 tonight, Southridge at 5:00. And Greenway in the 2A champion, or excuse me, the 7A champion, Greenway, goes against Sauk Center this morning at 11 a.m. Never like to get up too early to to be ready to play, but that's the way it goes. All these matches are at the state volleyball tournament in at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul.
You know, we were saying to have people text us if they have, you wanted them to stump Fred, but we just heard from our good friend Lori. She had this to add today. She said, not everyone knows about it, but she says it's worthy of a sports page mention. Last week was opening weekend for the Premier Hockey Federation, rebranded this year from the National Women's Hockey League. It's a small league, but will hopefully grow so more women have an opportunity to play professional hockey. The Minnesota Whitecaps season began with two away games against the Boston Pride. Although the Whitecaps lost both games, McKenna Brand scored two goals for the Boston Pride. McKenna's from Park Rapids.
Wow.
Next game for the Whitecaps are on home ice, November 20th and 21st at the Tria Rink in St. Paul. Thanks, Lori.
Yeah, you know, my daughter played hockey in high school and college, and now at age 39, she plays in the Minnesota Women's Hockey Association. It's three leagues, about 60 teams in the Twin Cities. She's been playing hockey since she was 14. So
wow.
What's that, 25 years now?
Hey, I think we are, it is the sports page. I want to introduce Fred Friedman joins us via Zoom, and Kyle Erickson is with us as well. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Morning.
Hey, Fred, you there?
He's on mute.
Hey, Fred, push the button, dummy.
This many months into the pandemic and the era of Zoom, and I still do that sometimes.
I know.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
There we go.
Hey, I'm Fred. I know you want to know, because you didn't stay up last night. The Wild won in Arizona 5-2 last night. They're going into a much tougher game tonight in Las Vegas.
I'd much rather hear about the Wild being successful. I did see that, than your guys' false, unfounded optimism about the Timberwolves that have, what, lost six straight and are giving up 127 points a game. Is that right?
What do you think, Kyle?
Remember now, we're taking the long view on the Timberwolves. They are not a contender this year. The hope is for growth and progress, neither of which
you sound like a British history professor. We're taking the long view.
Neither growth nor progress were evident last night as they got dismantled by Golden State, led by Andrew Wiggins.
What did he get, 35?
35 or 37 points, was aggressive, dunked on Karl Anthony Towns a couple of times, and everything we hoped he would be in Minnesota, he was last night for the Warriors.
But Anthony
never wanted to be here.
So. Anthony Edwards is everything we wanted, though.
He is fun to watch.
48 points.
48
But if you give up 125, you're not going to win.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not gonna win.
And, you know, but you know what's bothering me more? And I don't watch every Timberwolves game every minute. But
good move.
What's bothering me is late in the game is turnovers. They don't take care of the ball. And they need, you know, I think Edwards and Russell are excellent ball handlers. I just think they're forcing it. I don't know what their hurry is. They're just trying to make too good a play.
I'll remind you, this is the team whose prior coach said Zach LaVine's not good enough to play in this league.
Oh, yeah, think about that.
Hey, Fred and Kyle, I want just a quick thought on this. Lindsey Whalen is already taking heat for the Gophers' loss to Jacksonville Tuesday. Her Gophers lost 69-66 in their first game against Jacksonville. Maybe they took Jacksonville too lightly, but we have to hope for better against Arizona State in Arizona tomorrow night, and then they're home against George Washington on Sunday. But it's a little early to get too down on.
Early in just one game. I was heartened to see that the Star Tribune actually gave the women Gophers some press by raving about next year's recruiting class.
Yeah.
It's good that they gave them press. Bad that one game in, they're already talking about next year.
Yeah, good point.
Life in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Well,
hey, we've got a little bit of high school football. I just want to mention the football state quarterfinals are going on. Mountain Iron Buell is the 9-man rep from Section 7. They're going against Fertile Beltrami in Grand Rapids tonight at 6 o'clock. That'll be a sloppy game, won't it? And then in Class A, undefeated Deer River versus New York Mills tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in Brainerd. And then Manoman-Waubun, Manoman's 9-1. Kyle, they take on Mineota, which is 11-0, I think.
Ooh.
Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in Monticello. And Grand Rapids plays Orono tonight in the 4A quarterfinal. And that's at Osseo, 7 o'clock tonight. Moose Lake Willow River versus West Central Ashby, 7 p.m. tonight in Brainerd, and Esco versus New London Spicer Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock in Brainerd. And, you know, I mentioned Moose Lake Willow River and Esco, Fred and Kyle, because we've got a new tower a couple hundred feet higher than the old one. And I'd like to know if anyone in Moose Lake, Willow River, or Esco are able to hear us this morning.
Yeah. Esco has always been able to hear you. I know that for a fact.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and we are asking for you to text us and let us know. You can text 218-326-1234.
And let me give a shout-out to Moose Lake, because this is the answer to an obscure trivia question. What Northern Minnesota football team has the best one-loss record in the last 15 years? And the answer is by far Moose Lake. They never have a down year. I think they haven't been in the playoffs, once out of the last 9 years or once out of the 11 years.
Good point.
Their one-loss record is crazy. So, like Heidi says, if somebody down there in that area, Moose Lake, can hear us, send us a call us, text us, email us, anything.
Deer River's on a roll, too, Fred. They had a great season last year, and they were undefeated.
Sure, they got a good program. Things seem to work out there.
Yeah. And Manoman-Waubun has won the state title sometime in the last 10 years. They're tough. So we've got the northern teams well represented, especially in the smaller schools.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Fred, okay, with that in mind, it seems to me the Duluth area school, Denfeld and East, haven't been, I always expect them to be tough in the volleyball and the football and the basketball and the sports. Are Duluth school sports kind of down?
They are down. East is successful in the smaller things. Both East and Denfeld do all right in soccer for sure. And East does well in swimming, et cetera, et cetera. East basketball, which used to be way up, has been down the last couple of years. I don't know why. Denfeld football, which was dominant in northern Minnesota for decades in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. I don't know if they've won a game in the last 3-4 years. And out in West Duluth, Denfeld happens to be my alma mater, as some of you know. And I get asked that every day. What's going on? Why can't they be competitive? And I don't know. Enrollment somewhat down. Transportation problems. But their stadium's right there on campus. I don't know why, but it's sad. So I don't know the answer.
Uh-huh.
Impressive. I worry about too many athletes playing one sport, only playing hockey. But and there's no question about it that football players, football coaches lose players to soccer.
Oh.
You know, and fewer injuries, fewer life-affecting injuries, right?
Right.
And getting coaches to give up their August for preseason football, that's asking a lot. There's no question about it. That's asking a lot.
Yeah, Cloquet just reminded me. Cloquet had a very good season in both boys and girls volleyball this year.
So. They do. Cloquet seems to be doing well and all that. So
we asked and we received. We just heard from Al Lund in Moose Lake. He said, Moose Lake hears you loud and clear. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Al. We will.
Awesome. Love to hear that. Technology, right? Towers and all that. Got it?
I'm just amazed. You know, we've been going here all about 8 minutes, and Kyle, you and Fred haven't mentioned two things. One, the Vikings, and two, Aaron Rodgers. Do we need to go there?
There's not much to say about the Vikings. They're a talented team that can't figure out how to win, and they've had, what, 6 of their last 7 games this year have come down to either literally the last play or the last handful of plays. It's not like they're a bad team. They've had a very tough schedule, and they've been competitive right down to the wire with some of the NFL's elite teams, and they just, whether it's dumb penalties or lapses in the secondary or questionable play calling, are finding ways to lose games instead of win games. And I think ultimately, at this point, you have to look at the head coach. I have not been a believer that Mike Zimmer is the main problem with the Vikings, but at this point, I also don't think Mike Zimmer is the solution for the Vikings. And I wouldn't be surprised if, after this season, if they don't turn things around, if there's a head coaching search.
Mm, yeah. Is there any more to pile on Aaron Rodgers?
The entire internet has done a pretty good job of that. There's not much to say. It hasn't been said, I don't think. It just vexes me to no end that the number of people who are willing to put themselves in priority over public health.
Yeah, and teammates, too.
Oh, and teammates, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Here's what I want to say. I think the NFL hands out discipline in a discriminating fashion. Some teams get crushed. Some players get crushed. Here's a guy that lied on national television, on the internet, lied everywhere. He has a microphone. He gets attention. He always dates or is engaged to celebrities. He gets away with lying. He says, listen to me, I'm a role model. And then he lies, plus he gets sick. Then we got another kid, high talent, top half dozen quarterback. He takes a knee in a preseason football game, and he's gone forever. They destroy his career, destroy his income, destroy his living. I'm telling you, the league handles Aaron Rodgers with kid gloves. And I don't like it.
Yep, I think you're right on that, Fred.
All right, now, should we move on? Heidi?
Just one more note before that. We're getting into hot stove season.
Oh.
And there is the best free agent class I can remember coming up this year.
Oh,
and so we can all watch the waves, the airwaves for the Twins brass, I'm sure, pursue those top end free agents and put together a contending team.
Well,
we can hope.
But that's what the hot stove's all about. That's the fun part of baseball in the winter.
I predict, Scott, there will be a hot stove league meeting on KXE this winter when people will be calling in complaining about no progress and a collective bargaining agreement. That's my prediction.
There's the prospect of an off-season lockout.
Wow. I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah. So,
well, play ball.
So, speaking, before we get to trivia, I understand somebody's going to make a guest appearance next week in person in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Is that next week?
That's a kind of
Self-promotion,
yes. Yeah, really.
Objection, self-serving.
Yes, very good.
Fred will be in the studio with us along with Kyle. And it's our fundraiser next week, so we're going to have a lot of fun, do some more sports stuff, and open up our text line. People can ask them questions as we raise money to bring you this kind of programming that Al's listening to in Moose Lake. You can help us out. Get us started early. You can text the word donate to 218-326-1234. You ready for it?
For Danny, trivia? One more thing. My son Danny told me he knew I wouldn't come to Grand Rapids until the detour was completed.
Well, it is, isn't it? Yep. I haven't been there.
Okay. Yep, it is completed. You're listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. It is time for the Sports Page.
Also serving ball club, I might add.
Okay. Sports Page trivia right now. This is a Veterans Day edition, and the topic is athletes who served in the armed forces. After his rookie season with the Steelers, this running back was drafted into the Army in 1968. He volunteered for duty in South Vietnam and was wounded there in August of 69. He played in the first of the Steelers' four Super Bowls in the 70s, and he ran for over 1,000 yards in 1976.
The only Steelers running back I know is Franco Harris.
He was Franco Harris's running mate.
Oh, okay.
The answer is Oshkosh, Wisconsin native Rocky Blyer.
Rocky
right
Blyer?
On.
Okay.
The name I know, yeah.
Okay.
Kyle, you get this one first. This Hall of Fame pitcher enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1918.
Oh, boy.
And served in France during World War I. His lungs were badly damaged during chemical warfare training in France, and he subsequently developed tuberculosis. He died in 1925 at age 45.
Fred?
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Big Six.
Kyle, this is anybody's list is one of the top five pitchers of all time. The great Bucknell graduate who's buried on Bucknell campus, Christopher Mathewson.
Very good.
Yeah. Is in the front lobby of Cooperstown. Matty was the master of them all. His statue, front lobby, Cooperstown.
We got to go to Cooperstown.
This Lakota athlete was a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps Reserve when he won the gold medal in the 10,000-meter run in the 1964 Olympics.
He's been to Northern...
Billy Mills.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Billy Mills, yep.
And this Vietnam veteran became known as the man with the golden glove. He replaced Willie Mays in the Giants outfield in 72. He was traded to the Phillies in 75, and he went on to win 8 straight golden gloves as a center fielder with the Phillies in the 70s and 80s. One sports writer described his talent this way: 2/3 of the earth are covered by water, the other third by this outfielder.
Oh, Matthews?
Close.
Maddox.
Yes.
Maddox.
Yeah. Gary Maddox.
Yeah. I didn't know he was a veteran, Scott.
I didn't know that either.
Well, I got to tell you a quick story. I was at a Cardinal-Philly game. I had a press pass. I was down by the batting cage, and Gary Maddox came out of the batting cage. I said, Gary, do you have time for a short interview? He says, you know, I don't give interviews. And I said, okay, fine enough. I didn't want to bug him. He gets back in the batting cage, and I remembered he was a Vietnam vet. And at the time, this was 1979, the movie The Deer Hunter was very popular. And he came back out of the batting cage, and I said, did you see The Deer Hunter? And he and I talked for 15 minutes about baseball, about growing up in Texas, about being in the service. And yeah, he saw The Deer Hunter and was very moved by it. Anyway, and all these other old hand sports writers were looking at Maddox talking to this young punk who never covers their beat, you know, and they thought, what are they talking about? Anyway, he's a really sweetheart guy. He was just very shy.
Okay, this Arizona Cardinal safety enlisted in the U.S. Army in 2002, and he served in Iraq and Afghanistan, where he was killed by friendly fire in 2004.
Pat Tillman.
Yep. This Naval Academy graduate was a 10-time NBA All-Star, 2-time NBA champion, and Olympic gold medalist, and he was drafted number one out of college in 1987. But he made his NBA debut in 1989 after he fulfilled his active duty obligation with the Navy.
You'd wonder how a guy the size of David Robinson could fit into a submarine.
I know. Yeah.
There's lots of stories about that. Grew 4.5, 5 inches in Annapolis.
Yep.
Wow.
Out of Cincinnati.
So this baseball Hall of Famer was a Navy flyer during World War II and the Korean War. He flew combat missions in Korea with future astronaut and U.S. Senator John Glenn.
Kyle, you got to know that.
Ted Williams?
Yes, there we go.
Theodore Samuel Williams.
And this athlete led Princeton University to national championships in football in 1911 and hockey in 1912 and 1914. He enlisted in the U.S. Army during World War I. He was trained as a pilot and awarded the Croix de Guerre. Is that?
Yeah, that's good.
Croix de Guerre by the French government for his wartime actions. He was killed just a few weeks after the war ended while flying a test plane.
Anything over a century ago is your department,
well,
Fred.
We're going to give you a
hint. Is that Rickenbacker?
Nope. Give him a hint.
The award given annually to the top college hockey players named after him.
Baker.
Hobie Baker.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's the only athlete to be named to both the College Football Hall of Fame and the Hockey Hall of Fame.
How about that? Great question.
Wow.
During World War II, this Hall of Famer was commissioned as a second lieutenant, but court-martialed in 1944 for refusing to move to the back of an Army bus. He was acquitted by an all-white panel of officers, but the proceedings kept him from being deployed with the first black tank unit to be used in World War II combat.
Kyle, do you know this?
I don't.
It's from Fort Riley, Kansas, Jackie Roosevelt Robinson.
And after this Heisman Trophy winner was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys in 64, he first fulfilled his required Navy service, including a one-year tour of duty in Vietnam. He was on two Super Bowl winners in the 1970s.
That, of course, is Jolly Roger Staubach.
And finally, this Baseball Hall of Fame catcher was a member of a six-man Navy boat crew that participated in the D-Day landings on Omaha and Utah Beach in 1944.
Lawrence Peter Barra.
Yogi Berra.
There we go. That's it.
All right, Heidi, I got trivia questions for you from Hollywood. Who was in Yogi Berra's platoon when they at the Normandy invasion?
Jimmy Stewart.
Famous Hollywood actor, TV actor from one of the most important series of all times, James Doohan. You know who James Doohan is?
No.
He's the engineer in Star Trek. That's Scotty.
Oh, Scotty, that's right.
Okay.
Heidi, here's my other. We mentioned the Deer Hunter, named the three Academy Award winners who were the three leads in Deer Hunter. Two men and a woman, and all three are still alive, even though it's a 1979 movie.
John Voight.
No.
No,
don't confuse
thinking,
that with Coming Home.
You're thinking of...
Robert De Niro.
Correct.
One.
Meryl Streep.
Two. I'm so impressed.
Number three. It's going to come to me.
You're going to know this.
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Who gets asked every frickin' day of his life, tell me what happened in Catalina. Because he's the witness to, you know what, you know, the drowning of Natalie Wood.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that.
Hey, we have a correction from Mary in Bemidji on one of our trivia questions. Rocky Blyer.
Yeah.
He's from her hometown of Appleton, Wisconsin.
Oh, and I said Oshkosh.
Oh,
I am
man,
so
Fred. Okay,
fired.
That's it, Fred. Yeah. You're fired. We're cutting your salary, too.
Who said that? Who said that? Who called in with that?
Mary.
Mary from Bemidji.
Mary, but you call in and tell me who the most famous person ever to come from Appleton is. And no, it's not Mike Webster. It's not Joe McCarthy.
It's Krabby Appleton.
Who is it? Mary, you...
She's probably she's going to probably text us here. She just sent this in.
Appleton, Wisconsin, famous.
By far the most famous person. Do you know this person?
Bullwinkle?
Far more famous.
Nope.
Is she texting yet?
Nope.
The answer is Eric Weiss. Who is Eric Weiss?
Oh, Harry Houdini?
Y'all know him well. Y'all know him cold.
Oh, is he the Olympic skater?
No. Eric Weiss is the great Harry Houdini, whose escape tricks have still not been duplicated, died in 1926.
From Appleton, Wisconsin, huh?
Oh, and she just texted Harry Houdini. She definitely knew that. So thanks, Mary.
There's a Houdini Square in Appleton, right, Mary?
Thanks.
So sorry, I got that wrong.
All right, Fred, now before you come next week, I want you to think and pause, because we're going to take you into the 8 o'clock hour and put you on the hot seat.
Got it.
Just be sure you want to expose yourself to that kind of...
And we're soliciting. Yes, Heidi, we're looking for money.
We sure are. Yep.
Oh, I'm glad you said money, Fred.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys. That's the Sports Page.